OK. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. We are now continue from where we stopped. Page 88 of Heart Sutta. Towards the end of first paragraph, the last four lines. Also understand that, like all phenomena, is impermanent. So do not expect same experience to be repeated all the time. This is especially so during your daily life, when you are not in a conducive place to listen to the true Dhamma. Then your habitual tendency to listen from your forehead or your brain will start to happen again. Sometimes the hindrance of mind can still come in to disturb your mind state. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be. And let it settle down to its original state or natural state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and at peace. So this understanding is very important. When thought arise, don't have to be like affected by it. Don't try to do anything. If you let it be, it will settle down on its own. And after a little while, it will become silent and still. But this is the natural state of mind before stirring. So if there is no hindrance, all this become possible. But when the hindrance is there, it can only stir as long as you give it mental energy. So if you don't give it mental energy, it will not stir. So this part is very important, huh? So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be. Then everything will fall back to its original state. You will fall back to its original state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and at peace. Hence the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all this very clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. Without ignorance, without delusion, without avijja, sankhara cannot arise. That's why the true mind will always be there, ever shining. When mundane mind ceases, or mundane mind doesn't arise, there is clarity, there is awareness, there is just silence, stillness. So meditation becomes very easy if you understand this. Then the next paragraph. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts, via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. The one thing to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion. Always remember this. See that clearly. That is your craving. And craving is a sensual desire. And it's a mental hindrance. That's why if you want to be peaceful and calm, you will not be peaceful and you will not be calm. So the one thing to be calm and peaceful or react via the thought is a reaction. It's a delusion. The one thing will create the stirring of the mind, because this mind via the thought will try to control and suppress its negative emotion or the lack of peace, thinking that it's bad. We are not understanding that the controller is the control. This part is very important. You know what it's called? It's called the controller is the control. Can you understand this part? You have to respond, otherwise I don't know whether you know or you don't know. Very good. There are some who understand. Anybody who don't understand, need me to explain. Nobody put out their hands, so don't need to explain. Everybody understand? Okay, I ask you back. Who is the control? The thought is trying to control thought. So that's why Krishnamurti said, the controller is the control. Thought is trying to control thought. What are you trying to do? So when you see this clearly in your meditation, you are not deluded anymore. No amount of control, suppression, can make the mind clear, peaceful, and wise. Control means there is a controller who controls. And this controller is always the thought. As long as the thought is active, what happened to you? As long as the thought is active, you cannot be mindful or peaceful anymore. There is no more clarity. Awareness is before the knowing. Before the knowing means before the aggregate of mind come out. So you have to understand, when you are without thought, that is the true mind awareness. So no amount of thought-based meditation that try to do and stir and create all this activity of mind can bring about the clear, silent, peaceful and still mind. That's why you cannot realize the true mind, and you don't understand there are two minds involved. Where you are only involved with the thinking mind, mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, without realizing that this is a mundane mind. That's why in all the other teaching, the sutta, nobody dare to say anything. Everybody dare not quote out of the text. Understand? The reason being they want to play safe. If I don't explain, I'm safe. Understand? I just quote. If I explain out of the ordinary, where the book never write, nobody talk about. You're scared you are wrong because you are alone. But if you have followed my sharing and my teaching, you realize everything that I say, or most of the thing that I say, is seldom in the standard Theravada text. Seldom. Except maybe the Four-Noble Truths. But the explanation of it is very, very different. And this nature dare to say all this because it is for you to investigate, for you to realize, to understand. So when you have that fear to develop the interpretation of it, where you don't understand, then you continue. That's why generation after generation, it becomes more and more adulterated, or it becomes more and more difficult to penetrate the true teaching, because it's gone. Nobody can explain it anymore, or very few people dare to express it out in terms of real life situation, the application of it, even though it's very difficult to do that. So most people tend to be conservative. They want to, they use that word, play safe. Play safe. Last time I came out to work, I remember my first job assignment. I went to a statutory body in Kedah. I got three bosses of me. Well, I was a young graduate. I got an immediate boss who is slightly older than me. Then I got another one, much older than me. Then on top of that is the head of the whole lot of department, sexual body, and that one is much older. So what happened was, when I was a young engineer, I did the design. Then I came out with the design, I realized my steel bar very little, you know, the steel also, or the steel bar very little, the concrete also no need so thick. Then I finished the design, passed it to the draftsman to draw. Then I had to get the drawing approved by my immediate designer boss. So I passed it out to him. He didn't even check my calculation. He checked my drawing against the existing drawing. Then he called me in. He said, "Tio, you sure or not your design?" I said, "I am not sure because I'm a new graduate. That's why I need you to advise me. You are my boss." He looked at me, then he said, "Ladella, you wait lah. I go and check with my boss." So he go and check with his boss. His boss looked at it. He said, "Don't try to be smart. You try to be smart, you get into trouble if this design is inadequate. Whatever it is, follow the old drawing." Then you know what happened. For me, my character is, you must tell me why I must follow the old drawing. So I just couldn't accept the fact that I have to go and follow the old drawing. Means indirectly telling me my design was wrong. But at least you check and let me know that my design was wrong or inadequate. So what I did was, I went to the drawing office. Then I checked through all the old drawings. Then I realized one thing very funny. You know. The old drawing design was exactly like mine, you know, the 60s one, during the British one, the engineers during the colonial time. Exactly like mine, you know, very little steel. Then I came to realize, as year goes by, the steel bar become more and more. Because every engineer may be kiasu, better be safe, increase one size, better be safe, increase one size. Increase until I think they paisei already, so they keep that drawing. Then I took out all the drawing, I see my boss. Then my boss took and see his boss. Then they very scared to see the head. They say, "You sure want to bring all this out? Sure kena firing." Then he got no choice because I got the old drawing. So they dare not make decision. They go and see the old boss. This old boss was a colonial time one. So he understand. He look at the thing, he straight away fire that immediate boss below him. He said, "What are you trying to do?" He said, "I've been telling you, you must understand design." He said, "What the new engineer did was correct." He said, "He also Teo. I also Teo. His name is Teo Teo Siang, I still remember. I like him. When he interviewed me, he asked me one thing. How confident are you in getting good grade and good result?" I straight away tell him what I will get. Well, he looked at me so confident. Then he said, "Okay, what is your thesis?" "Oh, very lucky. Well, my thesis is their department need one. Because theirs is a MUDA. You know MUDA? MUDA is the agriculture authority in Kedah. But the MADA is, mine was MADA, sorry, MADA. MUDA Agricultural Development Authority. But there is another one, MUDA, the DID one." So he understand. Then when he saw my thesis, which was a pumping scheme, because my thesis master, I think Sri and Mifong will know, first year we were taught by him, Ao Yang Hong Chiu, four Neiman. And he was the ex-director of DID. Director general, not only director general, the biggest one. He saw the thesis, he said, "Who is your supervisor?" I mentioned his name. he straight away got a shock. Oh, he is my boss. He was my boss. Okay, what's your name? He saw Tio. Wow, he's so happy. Okay, you are in. Then I knew I got the job already. Then when I went in, he only selected 4 out of 30 over that came for interview. And I don't know whether he prejudiced or not. Out of the 4, 3 Tio. The other 2 Tio is sent to the district. He keep me at the head office under his man. Then when he saw me do the design, he was very happy. He said, I told you all this, is it? The new engineer did it correctly, is it? How many times have I got to tell you all this? Because the other one immediately below him, I think the surname is Neo something, I forgot. He just kept quiet and laughed. Every time we change things, we got fire from you. That's why we don't want to change. We come and consult you. So that was the issue. So if you kiasu, I tell you, meditation also same one. Because you don't like all this mind state, isn't it? So what you do? You go and suppress, you go and control. You try to do away with it. Cannot. If you are confident of the teaching, you just do according to what you understand. You will never go wrong. If you are not experienced, you make mistake. The experience one will tell you. That's why meditation reporting, don't paise it. Tell me exactly what goes on in the meditation. Then only there is condition for me to explain to you and guide you. Understand? Otherwise, very difficult. You continue to do, but you don't know whether right or wrong. You dare not ask because the thought is paise. Understand? You scared what? People laugh at you. Nobody is going to laugh at you because you set the condition for Dhamma to flow. And I always say, let us rejoice. Understand? You should have this understanding. Then you will not fall back onto your deluded way of approaching life and meditation. Can follow, huh? Okay, we go on. The controller is the control. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought. There is thought ceases. So just relax and silence the mind to be with the moment in silent inner awareness. And do not try to do anything. Because the doing is by the thought. That will cause the stirring of the mind again. So the thought, which is the controller, tries to control thought. Thus explaining why J. Krishnamurti say the controller is the control. That's why you cannot be so foolish or deluded. You must see this very clearly. That's why the observer is the observer is the same. Thought is observing the content of consciousness, which is thought itself. So there is no observer, understand? Where all these are created by thought. So the observer and the thought is one. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. There is no observer, there is nobody to see. Like the physics experiment, the electrical circuit. Upon contact, the light bulb just light up. There is nobody inside there. Nature's law, condition arising, dependent originating. So get that understood. Then silence your mind and realize that during the meditation. You will come to understand and realize it very clearly. All the while was like that. Just like Brother Chia, the first day or what, he was trying to share with you. He keep on quoting in the seeing consciousness. But that has helped him to understand the thing so much. Root out self-delusion and all those things. And we have gone through Heart Sutta, almost 80 over pages. Can you recall how many times that sentence was quoted? In the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. Because it was repeated. That's why it's very important. And many of the monks during the Buddha's time, they got enlightened just because of the Buddha's teaching. Just the sixth sense door, sixth sense basis. To understand that there is no one behind the sense experience. And this is a very important understanding. And those monks who listen attentively and relate to their own meditation, they just awaken like that. Then they realize, yeah, he know you, he know me. It's just for my mind, dependent originating condition. Then they realize that all these are not what they think. Then they knew that is the condition arising mind, because impermanent, dependent originating, lead to suffering. Hence non-self or empty nature. So all this teaching has been lost because during the Buddha's time there is no writing. Do you understand? They cannot put it into so many words. And they cannot record all this because there is no recorder. No cassette tape, no CD, no USB, no pen drive. Now you are very fortunate. But the problem is when you have all this, they record all type of teaching. That's why you have to filter. You have to develop your own understanding. And when I look at that, it depends on your karma, understand? If you last time also promote those type of teaching, then you will come this line, you will join those people who will be interested in those type of teaching. That is karma. You reap what you sow. Where in the past you promote a teaching that take people to Holland. So now you will join them and go Holland for holiday. Don't know for how long, I don't know. Why they choose Holland? I also don't understand. Could it be Holland is a place where flooding on, a lot of flooding on? Venice, the city. Oh, Italy. Then Holland, is it a place where a lot of water? Oh, in the past, now no more. Oh, okay. Oh, below sea level. Oh, thank you. Oh, no wonder. So they have to manage the water irrigation. Oh, now I understand. So, what is it? Oh, windmill. Okay. Now I understand. Thank you. That's why I was trying to understand why the Chinese saying, Mo Tai Ngoi Holland, don't bring me to Holland. I was thinking, bring me to Holland, if no need money, I'm very happy. Heaven to Holland. When one understands that the natural state of mind before stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple. Agree or not? Ayo, until now no sound. Louder lah. If you cannot even confidently express this, you will never try. Like Mimi say, wak kung chai, already wak chut chong, everything is laid down already. But now we were very lucky, we got all this writing to express all this. That's why now it's easier. Last time they commit to memory, they only repeat by chanting. How can all this teaching, like what I share with you, you put to chanting? I tell you, it become crazy. How to chant all this? Maybe one sentence, two sentence, 10 sentence can. Whole book. And just to express a small thing. Nobody will want to learn this or teaching. So that's why the limitation of language or writing, mainly is writing and recording. The Buddha during that time got no choice. He came out with a very, very wise move. Commit to chanting. What are the things that the Buddha commit to chanting? Now we study this. What are the things he commit to chanting? You start puja. And what is puja? Pay respect first. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. So that you remember the triple gem and you pay respect, salute, you build up your merits. Then you chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. You must understand the meaning. Namo is what?
Ah, homage to thee. Otherwise, you follow me chant. You don't understand what. That's why, Namo Vero Chana Buddha. Another. You pay respect, homage to thee. Then the blessed one, the word you want, the fully aligned. And when you understand, I tell you, your heart here will open up. That faith become very strong. When I chant, homage to thee, even in Pali, this heart open up. The blessed one, the worthy one. And but if I fully understand the virtue of the Buddha, and I know he is blessed because he has that quality, blessed with wisdom, virtue, and understanding. Then worthy of what? Worthy of respect, give, offering, and hospitality, and all those things. And the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, fully enlightened. Then take refuge, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. So this will be retained. These are very authentic. Then precept also, chant, retain. Then the nine great virtue of the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. That's why you chant, Iti Peso Bhagawa Arahang. Then Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then Supatipanno, the order of the disciple. The order of the Buddha's disciple. They are of what conduct? Good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, dutiful conduct. Then they are the enlightened being. These are the four pair of beings that are worthy of respect. And the field of merits is immeasurable when you do. So all these are the authentic teaching that are preserved. They are carried down. What they call as chanting. Then all the important sutta, Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta. That's why there is no explanation, nothing, just the sutta. And you know Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta how long? I was told last night. Do you know a group of Kayamita chant? Joyce, they all. That's why she told me she came down late. And that sutta is a very powerful, where is the first sermon? I don't know how to chant, but I know how to read the Pali. It's a very beautiful teaching. It's in our chanting book. If you want, you can try and chant. So they want to preserve the authenticity of all this. So because of that chanting, this sutta chanting, when I look at the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, I understand some Pali words enough for me to figure out that the translation in English was not so accurate, and sometimes wrong, because I have understood what that those things are. Like the word dukkha, the meaning is so clear. After you have developed the understanding, all these are very clear. Rupang anicchang, what is rupang, what is anicchang, very clear. But when they pass down through recitation or chanting, they cannot explain it, understand? They cannot elaborate on it. And I understand why it has become like that. Because when the Buddha was with them teaching for 45 years, just imagine. Even when I started my class for the first 4 or 5 years, the first batch he told me, Bratil, without this understanding of the five aggregate of form and mind, no way you can penetrate the Dhamma, the two aspects and all that. But they can't find it other place. And they appreciate. Then after that, another one, also express this, is it? That's the reason why, is it? Because among us, for 4 or 5 years, we had this sharing. Then, to you and to me, even now, after I share with you, when I talk about the five aggregate of form and mind, you know what they are now, the two aspects now. But those who are new, they come and join, they sure catch no ball. They are book you. Because they don't know what you refer to. Then when you tell them what this five aggregate of form and mind is, most people repeat the sutta. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnanang. And all these five words are so alien to them. And then you translate to English. Oh, form. But they dare not explain what that form is. No. At the most, they say, yeah, your body is a form, physical form. The second aspect of form, they don't know. And how we go into the mind also, they don't know. Then when it comes to feeling, of course, they use the correct word. But they cannot explain what that word is. Feeling, to feel. They couldn't go deeper than that. Then when it comes to perception, words, they continue to use the word sanya in perception, and they dare not give you example and all those things. Then sankara is the worst. Sankara, mental activity, mental formation, mental volition. They keep on telling all these words. But they cannot explain to you what this is, the content of consciousness. Everything that the mind can do is sankara. And sankara got 52, including feeling and perception and all those things. Then what is consciousness also cannot explain. It just tells you, vijnanam is consciousness. So this type of sharing, very difficult. Then, for us, it's like, it's understood, no? So during the Buddha's time also same. When he chant, rupang anicchang, it's understood. But transmitted down, if new people, you chant, they don't know what you are trying to share with them or tell them. That's why the way is transmitted for what is available at that time, the limitation. The Buddha did a very good job. At least all these essential Dhamma in Pali chanting are retained. That's why I say the Theravada Pali chanting are very accurate. Because you chant, it's like a school song. Remember? Cannot go wrong. Every Sunday, sing one. Sing until you, like my daughter Chanda, what Karaniya Metta Sutta. When you went to Sunday school, then Envy and Thomas told me, they want kindergarten. A choice also told me, they want kindergarten. Sunday school. Then my daughter not there. That's how it can be retained. Even after so many years, it's almost 20 over to 30 years ago. So all this, you will start to understand why it has become like that. The explanation is gone. It's only the teaching. So if you don't have someone that has the understanding or the realization, you cannot explain all this sutta and all this teaching. Then it becomes theoretical. Very difficult to allow people to understand. If the one teaching you also have not realized, how can he teach somebody, like the Buddha said, if he's stuck in the quagmire, how can he advise you to come out of the quagmire? No way. Okay? We better move on. Otherwise, we were still stuck on page 88. Page 88 has been with us for how many sessions? Sometimes, it's like that. Tuesday class, or Thursday. Thursday class easier. Tuesday and Sunday class. Sometimes the whole 2 hour plus, Sunday class 3 hour. I didn't even move one paragraph. Because the sharing, that's the reason why I understand when the question has been asked. I answer in 2 pages. Because this question brings about a lot of very important Dhamma that this nature has gone through and understood or realized. And this one got no condition to come out until somebody asks some question. That's why all this come about because of Kayanamita, because of the sharing, the condition. Otherwise, no condition, all this will disappear with the form and mind. Understand? When this form and mind is gone, all this will be gone. That's why during the early day, I always say, whatever you want to know, you better ask. Then when there is condition, it will bring out and it will share. Otherwise, it's gone. Gone. Yeah. Okay? We move on. When one understands that the natural state of mind before stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple. So this one we have gone through. Just like the case of swimming. Take for example, swimming. If you understand that the natural state of our body is already buoyancy because it is lighter than water, then why do you need to learn how to float? Do you understand? Because you are lighter than water. Don't do anything. The buoyancy force will push you out and you will float. And you so gullible, want to learn how to float. Who is learning? The thought that don't have understanding is learning. Understand? Your true state of mind is already aware, silent, still, the meditative state. And you want to learn how to be mindful. Is that logical? Yeah, I ask you. Is that logical? You only need to know that before the stirring, before the hindrance, before the thinking, it's already that meditative state. So what you need to do is not to say go and stop the thinking, suppress the thinking. No. Relax and let it be. Then the thinking will cease, like swimming. Don't struggle. Don't panic. Hold your breath for a while. It will sink. Then when it reaches the equilibrium, because the buoyancy force takes time to build up, then it will push you up. And then when you realize your body starts to float up, there is confidence. There is joy. Then you realize what they told you is true. That like swimming becomes very easy after that. What do? When you already can float, you only have to move your hand or kick, and you will move. You don't have to struggle to have the fear to worry that you will sink. When you are struggling, how can you swim? Well, the fear is intense that you will sink and drown. Drink water. Meditation is the same. When you don't understand, you create all the thought there, panic, the fear. Am I doing right? Is this correct way? But at least you do all this, you don't have the fear of getting drowned. Understand? Because you don't see the danger of heedlessness. You see the danger of heedlessness, it's like drown. Understand? Well, then you will wake up. You will develop the understanding. Then you determine not to fall into all this. Okay, we go on. Just let go and don't do anything and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyancy. Then your body will just float. We are not doing anything. But instead, most people struggle in the water trying to keep afloat and in the process sink and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly in meditation, if you understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything. And the mind will settle down to its own natural state of peace, tranquility and stillness on its own. Just like the swimming analogy. Isn't this very easy? Very clear? Try it, then you understand. Then meditation is not a problem anymore. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very easy, simple, because you just move. To swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful or in a state, or in the case of the float, to assist you to float. So now you understand. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the float. So in a similar way, as long as you are still holding to the object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. Because that mind is silent, without any verbalization, chanting or whatever. That's why those who understand, they will know. You chant until no one is chanting. The vibration just come. Just like Yasawan Kayamita share with me her experience. She was full of joy. Later, if she want to share, let her share. She said, towards the end, he said, this heart sutta chanting, suddenly appeared in the heart when he went into stillness. They keep on chanting until the next morning she woke up and still chanting inside there. Oh, I say sadhu, very good. Just relax into it. It's opening up your heart. It's so beautiful. And she is new, first time in the retreat. Never attend my class before. How come she can do it? Understand? This is faith. So now you understand why finally one still needs to drop the use of a meditation object or skillful means used to train the mind just like swimming. Why must you learn how to float when your natural state of your body is already buoyancy, which is a fact? which you can't understand initially due to your delusion. Understanding that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in perfect, full, pure awareness and stillness, then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward, and you will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. So this analogy, does it make it very clear for you? Again, no response. What type of student is this? You have to answer confidently. When you see, you will answer very confidently. Okay, we go on. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what is meditation instead of clinging to meditation technique, method and teacher. Because the technique method, which is a series of instructions to do things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as an initial skillful means or aid, like a float to assist you initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that the body can float and reach a natural state of balance or buoyancy if you don't try to do anything. That is, let go completely and you will float. Then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same. That is, its natural state is already the meditative state of stillness, in stillness. So just stay silent, mentally silent, and don't do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state, because the thinking mind, which is egoic and thought-based, cannot meditate to realize the truth or the Dhamma, which is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind. Because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, the thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view and habitual tendency to constantly arise the mental activity or heedless thinking, which is sankhara, leading to the arising of the respective mental consciousness, vijnana, that support the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, nama rupang. This is the second aspect. Hence, triggering of the whole chain of dependent origination, leading to dukkha, finally. So these are very important understanding. When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and under any circumstances. And you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to method, technique and teacher. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaves by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Because according to the Buddha, there is this Four Noble Truths that states clearly that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nibbana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So just silence your mind and be heedful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. We are the seven stages of purification and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubts and enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding. So, very clear, isn't it? Keep on reading through and reflect on that until you truly understand. Then when you meditate, this understanding will operate. Then very fast. That's why new people, they listen to instruction attentively, just follow. No doubt, faith. Then they investigate. Then they get the result. That's what meditation is. You have to follow that. Have faith and just do. Don't doubt. Then if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. That's why the Buddha said the Dhamma stand up to investigation. It's ehi paseko. He can invite you any time to come and investigate. Because the truth will always stand up to investigation. Okay? Any question regarding this? Don't have, huh? So clear already, huh? No need question already. Okay. Next one. Brother, you are the only teacher. This guy also know. I think this one, this guy is a guy. We are only guy there to say like that one. Brother Theo, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no monk or text ever advise us to focus on the heart? Oh, I tell you, this is the biggest joke. Many people told me, oh, they were scolded by the monk, oh, when they go to the heart. Did you experience this, Jiwei? Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I found out for myself that the best place to
is your heart,
is the heart.
Oh, sadhu, sadhu.
Then I refer to Sayadaw Rajendra. And he was quite pleased that I discovered
it. Wow, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very, very good. I rejoice, Jue, sadhu. Very good. How long ago? How long ago when you have this discovery?
Must be about 15 to 18 years ago.
Wow, very good. Sadhu, sadhu. No wonder you can understand. No wonder when I was sharing, listen from the heart, you straight away knock the head. He straight away knock the head when I say, listen from the heart. Very good. Sadhu, I rejoice. Jue, sadhu, I rejoice. That's why those who understand, come back to the heart. Jue, continue.
I have realization on and off here.
Sadhu, sadhu, very good.
Was not able to put it all together.
In words.
Guidance is so clear. I think I know.
You know how to put in words already. You can guide Peng already.
Yeah.
Oh, very
Thank
easy.
You very much.
No problem. You are most welcome, sadhu. You have the potential, you have the understanding, but there is no word for you to use. Understand? No? And all these words, I have to find out myself. No? I have to get it from wherever that comes. That's why I was very grateful to J. Krishnamurti and my last teacher. He was the guy who introduced me to Krishnamurti's teaching. He said, Theo, remember, he read all the Dhamma book. No? He also read. You know what he tell me? You all can believe all these book. Then I knew what went wrong. Because I just asked him back, why do you think that all these book is not worth reading? He said, first thing, you know what he told me or not? He said, what the rubbish? He said, mindfulness, mindfulness, mindfulness. Full of mind. How to be aware? Oh, then I knew. I said, because his name is, I call him by the name. I said, my last teacher. I said, oh, now I understand. Now I explain to you why they use the word. Mindfulness. Because you all are very gullible. Never go into this. Mind. To him, as long as there is the mundane maya, how can you be aware? They say this is rubbish. Then I say, mindfulness got two meanings. One is mind full of thinking, which is heedless thinking. And this is not mindfulness. But when you separate the two words, means what? You must put in another word. Mind in. Then no thought. Understand? The mind is fully aware. He said, then put in the word. He said, understand? That's why you are very gullible. You should put in the word. Mind in fullness. Mind in full awareness. That is mindfulness. Understand? Jiwei, you can use this. If your mind is full of thought, you call that mindfulness. That's why they teach you how to note. Verbalize. Create more thought. Understand? And this is where you go wrong. So far, nobody can define mindfulness. You got all sorts of mindfulness definition. And I was shocked, you know, when I heard this. I think after I taught the first group of Kairamita. Then suddenly they know I don't go for talk anymore. Then they came to me and said, Pratyu, this topic is very interesting. Mindfulness in daily life, no? You want to go and listen? No? I said, where is it? Oh, he said nearby. They invited some foreign monk or don't know what to come and share. So since got condition, okay, I said, here we go. Then I went there, I listened, completely different. No? Then there's another book, no? Mindfulness in Plain Language. Yeah? I think you all heard this book before. When I read, like my last teacher, I cannot read. No? Because this is what they understand. It's completely different from my understanding, my nature's understanding. The one that we went for the talk on, the one that shared the talk, he said, mindfulness means everything you must slow down. Otherwise, there is no mindfulness. Wow. Immediately inside, keep quiet. They're not saying anything. Then I just smile. Then after that, he gave an analogy, like the fan. Very logical one. He said, like the fan. When it's moving very fast, you cannot see the blade. Logical or not? But when you slow it down, I can see clearly. 3 blades, 4 blades, 5 blades. This is mindfulness. You are gone, I tell you. Mindfulness is with the moment, no matter how fast. Because the mind is still, it will be there. I told you the experience I went through. All of a sudden, when I got this mindfulness developed, stillness, and when I can directly see from here, throughout the day, I have this sati. Then one day, I remember, after my bath, I come down. Actually, during the bath, I already had this intuitive understanding that it's going to happen. Because I was so mindful and aware. And everything was in the same speed. I didn't slow down anything. But the shower thing, of course, no word. I have to describe, that's why I use word. That shower thing that come down, it's like slow motion, no? But the speed is the same. That's how it hit my body. Full of clarity, awareness. Then the contact, the tactile, oh, so clear. Then my movement, activity, everything else. Then I just finished my bath. Then I came down. Then I walked. No thought inside there. Then when I reach, mine is a double-story house. When I reach the ground floor, I went to the door. Then I look out. I saw my van. Last time I got a Toyota like this. I never buy van one until I went to Australia. You had to rent a car. They got this van. So I find it quite interesting. Then Achayantra, my teacher, came. Then Raymond was telling me they got quite a number of monks. We need transport. Oh, then I was thinking, the best is buy a van, can take 8. So I purposely go and buy a new van, Toyota Light East, I remember. So, use it for transport. I saw my van, the perception was so funny. The moment I saw, pop, the van gone. Not the physical van gone. The image is gone. Then, like, there is nothing there. That is the higher form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Then you know what happened? I said, cannot be, I'm a science student. How can it disappear? Then I looked opposite my neighbor, the corner lawn, with a tree there. Pop, that tree gone also. How you explain? Because that vibration is beyond the vibration of the mundane mind's gross perception. That's why the moment it penetrates, that form is gone. Then after that, I came in. I sat down. I was thinking nothing to do. I on the TV. Wow, the TV, full of activity and movement. But the awareness, the nature is silent. Can completely follow the whole thing. You want to listen, you can listen. Don't want to listen, don't need to listen. That type of meditation, how to share the world. That's why he said nobody talk about that. Nobody write about that. That is the real sati. Sati need not be slow. Sati is just awareness. No matter how fast the movement, the awareness is there. It is the oneness. Spacious awareness. Understand? It will help you a lot. Okay, because you got condition. So now I read the answer. Hopefully you can understand. Don't worry, I say, about what others say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Is this the correct advice? Don't worry about what others say. Just investigate. That is what the Buddha want you to do too. Don't have to believe even me. The Buddha said, don't even have to believe him. Just like there was one incident when he said something, he asked Sariputta, what do you think? Sariputta said, I cannot answer that because I have not experienced it. Then a lot of monks, other monks, they like, how can Sariputta, the chief disciple, doesn't want to agree with the teacher? So the Buddha overheard it. The Buddha later on explained to them, what Sariputta said was correct. That should be the attitude. This is exactly like Krishnamurti said, no authority. Authority means what? When you are being controlled by authority, means they have authority over you. That's why he said, he doesn't want to set up any organization, anybody to put authority. He wants men to be free, completely free, without authority. Because some human being, they have this, what they call fear within. No? He is my teacher. No? I cannot go against him. No? I dare not have any doubt or question any of his teaching. No? And there is authority. Then there is fear behind. But the Buddha said, what Sariputta did was correct. You have to investigate into everything. It's not just because he is your teacher. You have to agree. And gullibly accept. No. Everything can be realized and investigated into, provided it's the truth. So this is a very important understanding when you learn meditation. The spiritual field. Investigate into everything. Don't be too gullible, too simple. Yeah. Then when you investigate, you can understand. And this is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. Yeah. Then we go on. Do not quote me. This one, listen, very deep meaning. Do not quote me saying anything because you may not understand what I mean. What I need to qualify here and let you understand is, if you have the understanding, you can quote me, no problem. Because you know how to answer. And you understand what I mean. That's why Chi Wei can use my words now. No problem, he understands. But if you don't understand and simply quote me, and when they ask you questions you cannot handle, you get yourself into trouble, you get me into trouble. Understand? That's why I say don't quote me. If they want to understand, you just say, there is a brother Theo that shares Dhamma with us. Yeah, no authority. Yeah. No right, no wrong. Yeah. We respect each other for what we are. We just make use of whatever that is beneficial, useful. Then we cultivate, we progress. Yeah. That type of sharing is the best. Then if they ask some more, I say, if you want to understand more, I am not in a position to explain because I have not had the same understanding or realization as yet. It is best you come and join the class. Then ask whatever question you want. Ah, then? Very good. Understand? Okay? We move on. That's why I say the same thing. Then you may get me into trouble. And yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over method and technique again. Just say, Brother Theo only shares his understanding with us. So no right, no wrong. And we as Dhamma friends or Kayamitas, just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just a sincere way of sharing the Dhamma. And as Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel, and help each other to progress along the path of Dhamma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity or action, speech, or thought. So, understand this, then you get yourself in trouble. Because when you are too, that word is what? Too zealous, to promote your teacher, you will get into trouble. You know why? You say wrong. This method all wrong. Brother Theo one, silent mind. Become a method again. Oh, I will die, I tell you. Everybody must
meditate with silent mind. I never say that, Asana. I just explained to you that the silent mind is the true mind. I never say everybody, but if you have mental hindrance, you cannot have silent mind, Asana. What must you do? You must cultivate spiritual faculty. But if you don't have the spiritual faculty, yet you want to cultivate, then what must you do? You must train that monkey mind, Asana, that mundane mind. The true mind no need to train. It's already that meditative state. So how to train that mundane mind, the heedless mind? That's why you use skillful means. Decondition the heedless thinking, mind-sweeping method, metta. This is how you will be able to explain the progress. But this is what the mundane mind needs. If you don't have a technique or a way to decondition the heedless thinking, it cannot stop. It becomes habitual. That's why mind sweeping method is very useful. The 6 R, the first few R is very useful. That's why people who have gone through, they will know what is useful. So because of this question, I answer and even talk about the gateway. Now you listen. You want to understand gateway, you listen. Huh? I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature. If they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. That's why after you have that only, you're supposed to go there. But if you have the understanding, you can go there, no problem. Then you must know how to silence your mind. Otherwise you go there, it becomes energy field too. Where you go and note. Note means what? Put your thought there. Instead of noting and put the energy at the tan tiana, you put it at your heart area. It's the same, it's still energy field. That's why a lot of them, they use the energy field to break the heart chakra. It end up in energy field, thought based. But if you just relax, silent and aware, there is no energy field. Understand or not? It's just aware. That's why it can still be a free mind, not a conditioned mind, not in concentration, not in one-pointedness, not in energy field. Can follow? Yeah? Again, no sound. Ah, very good. Sadhu. Then I read on, then you will understand. To feel the gateway to their nature, if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness, this meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness or sati without thought. After they have stabilized their daily mindfulness and anapanasati, and also for those who have trained their mind until the mindfulness is so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. Ah, that they like Gladys, huh? Gladys came to this state of mind. This is a state where a lot of meditators get trapped and stagnate because they don't understand what is happening. Some teacher and master will ask them to do sitting and touching. Ah, this is what the popular Burmese teaching. Huh? But if you understand what is happening, then you should stop doing those things. Just like what I explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a state where the bodily vibration has become so much finer, subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind so that the mind is able to stay still and silent on its own without the need of any dwelling or object of meditation. That is, mind in sati without any anchor. To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway, to connect to their nature within, so that their sati can become more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they will be able to be mindful of even the very subtle breathing or fine vibration within their heart area, and every movement of mind within their kaya via their awareness or sati. Within their kaya via this awareness or sati. It's like greatly magnified. and in a slow motion. There is no slow motion, it's light in a slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. That's why you can understand very clearly. Everything is so clear within. All of the movements are like broken down into a lot of very fine movement in between. Like at that time when you see that, I remember, any slightest movement, even to like straighten your backbone a little bit, when you do it mindfully with awareness, wow, that slightest movement, like magnify, you know, into a lot of very fine movement. Like the whole thing is so clear to you, you know. To you all, you're hardly aware of all this movement. This one is like little or no movement, but it's magnifier. And when I explained this to my last teacher, or last guy, you know what he told me? Theo, you are the only one who do mindfulness and understand what is mindfulness. You understand what he said? We are all along here, saw that word, he throw the book away. And the thing they discuss is completely not that type of level of meditation like him, awareness and all things. So that's why he said he only find Krishnamurti's word got meaning on it. Then he didn't teach me anything. No? He just passed me that toothache. That's why the wife was very unhappy. Asked her not to record, not to tape, but he himself listened to somebody else tape herself. Then he passed me that tape because he knew I can understand. I am very grateful and I really thank him. Then when I listened to that tape, I didn't even listen finish. I only listened to the first few part because that tape already very old. Later on, cassette tape was no longer. Then I think too long, the tape was not really functioning very well. But when I got it that time, it was okay. Well, the weather in New Zealand was good. So I listened to it. But the moment I listen, I understand. Because the silent mind already had the understanding. It's when somebody put in words, pointer, then it will just connect you to all the teaching. Just like now, Jiwei, he hear these words after I explain. He can connect because inside he understands. That is how it can be. So, when you reach certain stage of cultivation, technically, you don't need teacher. The word is technically. You will move on your own. You will understand on your own. But it will take a long time. But you meet somebody who has gone through, who can put them into words, just a few words, you will awaken. Greatly awaken. And you know how to apply and use all this. Like Hui Ning, the mind must have no dwelling. Just that truth awaken. And there are many of these when you connect to the true mind, true nature. When you are there, it's mind-to-mind transmission. They call it the mind-to-mind of mind-to-mind seal. It's just seal. It goes in. And during that time, very easy to understand truth. Wherever there is truth, that nature understands. That's why it will not limit to Buddhism alone. Okay? We go on. What is it? Oh, stop. Oh, thank you, thank you. 11:30 already, Oh, okay. Now we have to stop, Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Oh, 11:30 already, So fast, No lah, 3 more minutes lah. That was fast lah. This one is the reference, I finish off this one, To realize this state, they must... Oh, this one all finish, Okay. Anyway, I read it, To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within, so that their sati can be more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized the sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they will be able to be mindful even of the very subtle breathing and fine vibration within their heart area and every movement of mind within their kaya via this awareness or sati. It's like greatly magnified and in slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movement are like broken down into a lot of very fine movement in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation, even in daily life. Their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experience, every hearing, every seeing, thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity. And everything is like a flow. That is, mind and phenomena come together as one, in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed when one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within. And this is usually cultivated only by the great Bodhisattva, or those going the Bodhisattva way, leading to Buddhahood. For more details, please listen to the recorded talk. Okay, good, we finish. Yeah? Still 1 minute early, 11:29. Okay, we stop. Huh? You can gather for photographers, huh? Then after that only they will pay respect, ask for forgiveness and other. Because Brother Sia and Sister Nancy is leaving us after lunch, yeah? So we should actually rejoice and wish them a safe journey home. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, how you all want to take photo? I will have to take out this Jiwei's beautiful, what do you call this? Bini, why for? Spelling is different. Bini in Malay is wife. And so. You long time not in Malaysia, you forgot. Bini, I. So, Jiwei, present me a wife. Bini. Ah, yeah.